Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thanks, Anna. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Minister's Friend podcast. Did you know that the books of our modern Bible were not always in the order that we've come to know? 1st and 2nd Chronicles, for example, used to be one book. The same with 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings. In the New Testament, Luke and Acts are two volumes of one book, and yet our modern Bibles interrupt that important story with the placement of John's Gospel. Today, I continue my interview with Paul Caminiti and Glenn Powell of the Institute for Bible Reading about the Immerse Bible Reading Experience. In this segment, we talk about why they decided to change the order of some of the books and letters in the Immerse Bible. Again, it's a fascinating conversation. Oh, and at the end of today's podcast, we've got a very special free offer for you from the Immerse guys. You're really going to want to hear about that. But for now, sit back and join Glenn, Paul, and me once again as we talk about the Immerse Bible Reading Experience. So, getting back a little to the idea of the meta-narrative, so does that then plays into how you divided up the Immerse books then?
Yeah, it does. And so, you know, it's a Bible in six volumes. Mm-hmm. And you noticed, I'm sure by now, that we have changed the book order in some mm-hmm. places. Mm-hmm. That was also a part of our study, that the Bible wasn't always a single order, that different corners of the New Testament church, for instance, geographically, would order the books a little differently.
Oh.
The Gospels weren't always in the same order, and the letters weren't always in the same order. Same is true of the First Testament. So we felt some freedom to say what would be the most help for readers, especially to understand the big story of the Bible. And so that's the reason behind our reordering some of the books of the Bible, so that it'll be the best experience for readers. So in the New Testament, for instance, rather than doing the four Bibles, you know, squished mm-hmm. together at the beginning, where you're reading the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they have a big chunk of shared material, as you know, mm-hmm. and to read those consecutively can start to sound tedious by the time you get to the third one. And we thought, you know, there really are books of the New Testament that appropriately go with each of the Gospels.
Yeah.
Why not make the New Testament a little like fourfold New Testament, with each Gospel as the head of a group of books that naturally go with it?
Mm-hmm.
So Matthew with the strongly Jewish books like Hebrews and James, John with John's letters and so mm-hmm. forth, and mm-hmm. rearranging. So the whole Immerse experience has been developed with readers in mind, to give them the books in an order that's helpful for understanding, and especially for putting the pieces together to understand the big story of all of it.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't inconsequential in terms of, you know, people understanding the big story. So when you take Luke and Acts and put them together, which is what that's our starting point with the New Testament. First of all, it's 25% of the New Testament. And when somebody reads those two books consecutively, they now have a sense of everything that God has done yeah. in the first century, in the sending of Jesus, and in the birth of the church. And so then, since Luke, you know, was a traveling companion of Paul, we put Paul's letters mm-hmm. Right after Luke's treatise. And currently, and this is again unknown to most folks, that the current order is longest to shortest. Romans was Paul's longest letter, and then 1 Corinthians. There wasn't even an attempt that was made to put them you know, in a time-ordered fashion. And where this makes a difference, just one quick story. There was a young gal that was going to one of the groups, and we heard about her. I think I would describe her as a pre-leaver. She okay. was not a Christian, but she wanted to check this thing out. And so, you know, they're they read, you know, about a third of the way through, and she raises her hand in one of the gatherings, and she said, you know, this is all very new to me. Please understand this. But she says, this Paul guy, I can't say that I'm much of a fan. He seems a bit like a bully to me. And what we heard is that the group had an amazing conversation, but she kept reading. And later on, then she said, as they were finishing Paul's letters, now in a better historical order, you know, at the end, he's in prison. He knows that he's going to die. And anyhow, she says, you know, I said earlier that I didn't care for Paul, but she says, I liked him better at the end. He seemed to soften. And, you know, you only see that if you're reading Paul's letters in a better historical order instead of bouncing all over the place.
Yeah. Amen. Tell me about the New Living Translation. Why was that one in particular chosen?
Paul, you want to take that?
Yeah. We love the New Living Translation. From a readability standpoint, which is what we're really going after here, it's written at a sixth grade reading level. And so of all of the major translations, you know, that have been translated by, you know, scholarly linguists, the New Living Translation has the most accessible grade level. I think the NIV is like at a 7.6 grade reading level. The King James Version is at a 12th grade reading level. It's not really about dumbing down the text at all. It usually has to do with the length of the sentences and some things like this. And so the NLT really, you know, without having our fingers crossed behind our backs, we can say junior hires can read this. Mm-hmm. You know, high school kids can read this. And of course, it's, you know, proving to be true in real life that Immerse is really gaining traction, you know, with a youth audience. And so that was kind of the main things. And it continues, you know, the translation is growing in its market share, and a lot more people are being introduced to it. And again, instead of having to have their reading interrupted because they run into, you know, this, you know, super theologically dense word that they have to then go and look that up, it's that the language is used in a way that's more accessible. And so people just continue to read instead mm-hmm. of having kind of this reading interruption.
Yeah, the other thing I would add to that, I think that's exactly right, is that a translation like the NLT is striving to take the original words and their meaning and then translate that meaning into appropriate English language, the way language is used today. I know some of the more literal type translations are, you know, getting quite close to even like trying to reproduce Greek sentences, you know, in word order and so forth. And I think, you know, people, it can make people stumble through the reading because it's not a natural English sentence anymore. So I think the NLT is perfect for a reader's Bible. And also, I think it kind of goes with our philosophy that our goal with Bible reading is to get people to enter into the story. Mm-hmm. And so if the translation isn't hard and awkward for reading, but flows well mm-hmm. and yet accurately brings the meaning from the ancient text, that's the kind of translation that I think lets people enter into the story mm-hmm. and think about the fact that their own lives are caught up in this exact same story. We're just in a later chapter in that story, rather than thinking of the Bible as a distant, difficult, ancient book only mm-hmm. that might have a principle or two versus this story approach that gets them to enter in. So we think it fits with our whole philosophy of what Bible reading is all about.
Yeah, I love that. One of the comments, I'm actually facilitating two of the groups for our church. And one of the comments came back about, you know, being able to see the picture in their mind. And I thought, you know, I remember I struggled with reading as a kid. I just didn't want to do it. It wasn't that I couldn't. And then I discovered the Chronicles of Narnia. Mm. And the Chronicles of Narnia grabbed me because I could watch the movie in my head while I was reading it. And that's what's happening with Immerse and the Bible, is people are beginning to act. They see it. They aren't just listening or hearing the words. They're actually, if I could say it that way, they're watching the movie of it in their head. And I think that's the NLT really lends itself to that maybe better than some of the other versions. Incidentally, my admin now has just started for our slides on Sunday morning. The NLT is now going up during our worship services.
Really? Wow.
Because it's been so readable, and so we're just, you know, since I'm preaching through, I'm following that suggestion about answering questions from the pulpit on Sunday. So we've done that, and I have a feeling that the NLT is probably going to stay even after we're done with this first cycle of
Emerge. Yeah, it's great. It's great.
When you combine easy to read translation, and again, we need to be clear, this is a very scholarly translation.
Yes, yes, it is.
Done by a very astute group of linguists. But when you add a highly readable translation to a clean text, you know, sans chapters and verses, new things do begin to happen. And I go back to the prison, and one of the prisoners said to me, you know, I have a lot of time on my hands, so I read a lot of novels. And he said, I know a novel is a really good novel when I close the cover and I just keep thinking about the story. Mm. And he said, for the first time, that's what's happening with me with the Bible. Mm-hmm. I close the Bible and the story is staying with me. Well, that's what we're after.
Amen. In one of the groups that I'm leading, we've got a gentleman who's grown up in the church. He's probably about my age. And he said, you know, I've read the Bible my whole life. He says, but I'm seeing things for the first time in this study that I've never seen before. And I thought, that's a pretty big statement, too, because this guy's a believer. He's been a believer for a long time. But the Bible is getting through in some ways it hasn't done that before. So when we talk about a reader's Bible, what we mean is a Bible that's structured and printed in such a way as to maximize readability and comprehension. The purpose of the Immerse Bible is just that. It's not so much for study. There's lots of great Bible versions out there for that. But more to fully engage the reader in the overall story of the Bible, what we've been calling the meta-narrative. The Immerse team has separated the four Gospels and linked them with the New Testament letters that more naturally relate to their respective audiences, because each of the Gospels is written to a different audience. And Luke, Acts are considered one book. They're linked together again for readability. As Paul notes, when one realizes that these two books alone comprise 25% of the New Testament, a reader can read these two books and gain a rather thorough sense of the New Testament story from the birth of Christ all the way through the expansion of his church. Next time, the three of us talk about how the Immerse Bible is gaining traction, even among people who are unfamiliar with the Bible. The Immerse Bible reading experience is turning out to be a great way to introduce the Bible to people as a new book, something they've never experienced before. That's coming up next time on The Minister's Friend. We are so grateful that you are in our audience. The Minister's Friend podcast exists to help pastors and other church leaders like you lead their congregations well. As I record this episode here in April 2020, our nation is essentially sequestered in our homes because of the COVID-19 virus pandemic. The Immerse team would like to help us all redeem that time bound together as families, and they're making us a wonderful offer that they're calling Immerse from Home. They're providing everything you need to experience Immerse for your whole family using the Bible book of Luke Acts. There's a downloadable PDF of that portion of the Immerse Bible for free. There's introductory videos of the two main sections. There are audio versions of the Bible text if you do better listening than reading. And there's a special family guide to make this a truly family experience. Are you interested? All the links that you need for this free resource are in today's show notes. And personally, I cannot recommend these things more highly. Please take advantage of it. I'm so glad you are with us for today's episode. Drop us an email and tell us what you're learning. Or, better yet, send us a topic you'd like to see us cover. Thanks for joining us here on the Minister's Friend podcast. Let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author John Kimball. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimball.com. That's podcast@johnrkimble.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!